With every match, a warrior is born. Step inside the ring. This is the Whip Podcast with your host, Devastating Daryl Pace and Deshaun Whip Dog Whipple.
All right.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders Podcast, aka The Whip Show. We are back with a very, very, very special edition. Now, obviously, you guys know it's been a whole lot going on in the wrestling world as of late. But I want to talk about something that was very close to me and my guest that I'm bringing on in a few seconds. As we know, I'm just going to be kind of hard, but we're going to try to go with it. Wyndham Rotunda, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt, passed suddenly last week. And we haven't had a chance to really talk about that on the podcast. We've talked about it. We've had memes and things like that. People have given their words. But I really want to talk about it right here on the Whip Show. And today, I have a very special guest. I met this young man during a SummerSlam weekend through the media scrums and everything like that. And by the way, the good media scrums, not the crazy ones that we've been hearing about lately, but the good media scrum. This man is an award-winning journalist. He does news and media in Windsor, Ontario. See, we're going over across the water this time. I want to bring in Sanjay Maru. Sir, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic, and I'm feeling a lot more grateful to be alive. I'm feeling a lot more grateful to be doing what I do and meeting the people I meet, because obviously I and everybody else in the wrestling community was obviously very shaken up by the news. Bray Wyatt was my single favorite wrestler of all time, and so this is obviously something that hasn't really sunk in yet.
I know, man. It was such a serious and just a out-of-nowhere thing. I want to ask you, where were you when you got the news? I want to talk about where I was, but where were you when you first heard about it?
Yeah, so I was actually out with my wife. We were running errands, and I've been bad about being on my phone a lot when I'm out, when I probably shouldn't be on my phone. So I put the phone away, and it was 3-4 hours we were out, and I hadn't really looked at my phone, really hadn't checked any of the news. But I come home, first thing I do, got to get that fixed, you know? Take the phone out, and I see Triple H's tweet right at the top of my feed. And it just, you had to look at it for a while to see, okay, is this really what I'm reading? Is this at Triple H's real Twitter account or X account? And yeah, I think I said whoa to my phone 9 times in a row. Just whoa. Like, let's stop everything, because this can't be real. Where were you?
Man, and that's the thing. Literally, I had just taken a nap. Had been a long day. I'm asleep. And I've always said people tend to blow your phone up when you're trying to rest. So my phone is going crazy. I initially think it's just people bothering me. So I silence the phone. And I look at it. I have 25 messages. I'm talking about messages from people that I didn't even know liked pro wrestling, telling me about Bray Wyatt. And as you stated, instantly, because we've been trained to think that it's wrestling's a work. So there's no way this could have happened to a guy that we just saw him posting Instagram reels and videos about working out, trying to make a comeback, that this happened. Instantly, I go to X to try to find out. Then I see the Triple H tweet as well. And instantly, I dropped. And what made it so bad, at that same moment, my girlfriend had called me. She's a staffing coordinator at Michigan State University Library. So she was telling all her students about me being at SummerSlam and getting press credentials and how geeked up they were and how they wanted to meet me. So on one side, you got this set of young people, 18, 19, just going into college, overjoyed about pro wrestling because they hadn't heard about Bray Wyatt yet. So she's telling me that. And of course, it made me feel good because my fiance is talking about what I love. But then on the other hand, I got that message. So it was just like a stab in my heart, man.
And it really is. He's one of those people, one of those characters that just, he passes and of course everyone's going to be talking about it, because whether you're a fan or not, you catch a glimpse of Bray Wyatt on your TV screen, you're hooked in.
And that's what I'm glad you said that, because you just talked about him being your favorite wrestler. Do you remember the moment you were like, this is my guy? This is something different right here.
It was his debut. His debut, and not even his debut, his vignettes that we had seen. It, once the vignettes started playing, obviously a lot of fans, we searched, okay, who is this guy? The Wyatt family, who's Bray Wyatt? You start to see his stuff on NXT, but just from that first promo, I'll never forget the way he ended that first promo before the Wyatt family launched that feud with Kane. And that first promo ends with, this is not the beginning, it's the end. And just that, the power of that line, like just that turnaround of every other wrestler, every other superstar would have done, you know, the switch of, no, this is not the end. I'm debuting. This is the beginning. No, 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 not Bray Wyatt. He had a full understanding of that character and just really took my breath away with that first promo.
And that's what was so amazing about him. Everything he did came through that camera. We weren't just watching TV. We felt like we were in the arena with this guy for almost every time. And as you know, wrestling has changed over the years. Some guys don't make that connection with people. He did, man. And like, well, were you familiar with his work as Husky Harris?
Of course, of course. I was watching the Nexus TakeOver during that time. I've been watching all my life. I'm 29 years old, so I've started watching when The Rock and Triple H would, you know, have their battles during the Attitude Era. And to see the rise of Bray Wyatt, and again, going back to what you said as Husky Harris, but I'll never forget those chants during Bray's debut of Husky Harris. And you think maybe he won't be able to cross that bridge of one character to another. But of course, right, like you mentioned, Bray's character work is second to none. Even though you know this is Wyndham Rotunda playing a character who used to be another character, you believed. And he did it, like you said, better than anybody.
And that was so amazing about him, because let's be quite honest, we know how the business works. Them calling him Husky was kind of a rib. You know, they were testing him to see if he'd make it through, man. He still pushed through. I have a good friend that works for WWE. He works in administrative. His name is Vlad. Shout out to him. And he made a post right after he heard a picture of him and Bray. But he was saying he's a big guy also. And he asked Bray, how do you feel so comfortable going out there without your shirt on? I mean, they're trying to rib you. He said, Bray looked him dead in the eye and said, it's just skin, man. We all have it. I love myself. And as simple as those words were, that resonated with Vlad, because Vlad is, like I said, a big man himself. And he's been out there working himself, because he's an indie wrestler without his shirt. Something that simple connected with people, man. Why do you think
that confidence, sorry to jump in, that confidence, though, really carried in his entire character, that you believed it. It was, that statement is really a great anecdote to who he was as a person. I just want to make this one comment here, in that there's so much talk right now of certain WWE superstars, and I think we know which one I'm talking about, being in a different genre than everybody else.
Yeah.
But let's be real. If we're really being objective, who was the first WWE superstar to be in their own genre? Absolutely. It was Bray Wyatt, and it wasn't even close. To this day, you could argue, even in death, he still continues to be in a different genre. You look at the tributes that are going on Friday Night SmackDown, Monday Night Raw. It's still different than anything you're seeing on the rest of the show. It just is a testament to how amazing he was.
He will resonate with fans forever. There's some people, like the term immortal is really going to be true with Bray Wyatt, man. I want to talk about a moment that was big to me, and I want to see what you thought about that. The time Bray and Undertaker were in the ring, and Undertaker whispered in his ear. When you first saw that, what did you think, man?
When I saw that, at first I just figured, I was like every fan who thought this was a true passing of the torch moment, and we heard in interviews that Bray Wyatt did with other members of the media, he wouldn't let anybody know. What did the Undertaker say when they asked him, can you tell us what you said? Now, the Undertaker, he was asked, I believe it was an interview with Ariel Helwani, and he, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, he said, I told Bray, and I'm paraphrasing here, that if you need anything, let me know. I'm sure there was some deeper meeting, or, you know, the wording was much different, but Bray kept that to himself, and he said, I'm taking that to the grave. And of course, we never would have imagined this, that he'd be taking it to the grave so soon. But there is some solace knowing that he wanted to keep that secret. He wanted to keep that to himself, and he'll never reveal that. And now we'll never truly know, of course, unless the Undertaker says.
Right.
But I would imagine out of respect for Bray, he'll just say, I said I'll be there if you need anything, and we're just going to leave it at that. But that transition was there. You know, the new face of fear, the Undertaker to Bray Wyatt, we thought this was the next big Undertaker character, but Bray was always clear in saying, I don't want to be the next Undertaker.
This is true.
I want to be the only Bray. And again, it just goes back to the confidence that he had as a character. Like you said, we're going to remember him for years to come. I want to just reference something that I heard on another podcast. Conan O'Brien, one of my favorite late night talk show hosts, he has a podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. And when Norm Macdonald, one of the greatest comedians of all time, when Norm Macdonald passed away, Conan had said, I think in the world of comedy, his death is only going to boost his popularity and his influence on other comedians. Same thing, I think, with Bray Wyatt. Honestly, I think his death so early is only going to boost his popularity and boost the influence that he's going to have on generations to come.
Oh, absolutely, man. And another thing about Bray, you kind of touched on it just now. That man protected his character like no other. As we know in the world of media now, a lot of the pro wrestlers, we know the term kayfabe. They come out of their character. They do an interview over here. They're hanging out with such and such. Bray never did that. Even when he was doing interviews on the news, he would stay in Bray Wyatt character, man. Why do you think he did that so often, man? I mean, I know, but I want to know what you think.
Of course, it's just the genius of his mind to have this character. I know what you're referencing with the news interviews, particularly when he comes in as Funhouse Bray Wyatt and he has the red sweater. It's so genius when you watch it. Like, I just get excited thinking about it now. That he, okay, I'm going to play, you know, I'm going to have this Fiend character who obviously will not do interviews. You can't put him on a morning talk show. But this alter ego that can go on all these morning shows, promote all these WWE events all around the world. And all the comments in these interviews were always the same. All the comments would say, is he in character?
Yes.
He's in character. He would just walk that fine line of maybe this is Wyndham Rotunda, but he could pass. As Sweater Bray, he could pass as Funhouse Bray Wyatt. It was so good. It was so captivating to watch.
Oh, my God. You're so right. And, man, another moment that I really liked, and I know some people felt a different way about it, when Bray Wyatt went against John Cena at WrestleMania, I thought, especially in the time that we were in the COVID time, I thought that was some amazing cinematography for the role of pro wrestling. Man, we had never seen anything like that. Keep in mind, they were promoting it like it was going to be a regular match. I mean, they had the Firefly, you know, Funhouse gimmick, but we didn't know we were going to get that, man. It was literally amazing to me. What did you think about that?
I thought it was genius, considering the time of the pandemic and the limitations. But again, I shouldn't say limitations, because what WWE did so well during that time, and it is a credit to Bray Wyatt, and it's a credit to characters like Roman Reigns, who I know in interviews with Paul Heyman, Paul has talked about how they used the pandemic as an advantage, more as a limitation. Yeah. But it was just a credit to everybody in that company to say, okay, if we can't do a traditional match, if we can't go out in front of 80,000 people, how can we do something just as, if not more captivating, but take advantage of the limitations that we've been given with the pandemic? And then you just have this masterpiece, something we've never seen. Again, something in its own genre.
Absolutely, man.
We're not going to see replicated.
And it's just so amazing in a world where we all know what wrestling is. He was able to do these supernatural things, and we totally bought in. I mean, the first time that you saw the Fireflies really sing, you got the whole world in his hands, and I remember there was one Monday Night Raw, they closed the show with that. I mean, they could have sung for another 40 minutes, man.
Yeah, it's just the ability to connect with the crowd. And, you know, in past interviews that Bray Wyatt has done, he said, I'm not the kind of character that's going to shout the same catchphrase at you to get you to repeat it back to me. He was very measured in what he would say to his audience. We're not talking about the cult leader promos where you don't really understand what he's saying, but you're sucked in. But we're talking about those, just those, I don't want to say buzzwords, but just those infectious sayings that you can't help. If you're in an arena of 80,000 people, you cannot help but sing along, you know, whether it's waving with him. You know, I think an ability of a great WWE superstar is to have those mannerisms that anyone in the mainstream would do. You know, I don't think anybody was doing the push-ups and saying, hey, look, I'm Jack Swagger. I don't think that was happening.
Right.
But I know in my family, I do, bye, see you later, just like Funhouse Bray. Or, you know, if you're just looking at yourself in the mirror, you're having a bad day, and you just think of Bray Wyatt's voice, just that switch, let me in.
Yes. Oh my God.
The Jekyll and Hyde kind of switch. And it's just genius what he did, honestly, with that character, with who he was as a superstar and as a person. Just, it's just genius and creativity to an infinite level.
Absolutely, man. And you know, you being part of the media, you've seen cult leaders. Have you heard of David Koresh and all these different people? And growing up, I said, there's no way I can buy into a person, another human, telling me what to do. But I'm telling you, seeing Bray Wyatt, that character was so strong and masterful. I really could see him doing something like that and people buying in, man. It's
amazing, right? And with people buying in too, you know, when it comes to the wrestling business, we've heard about fans being fickle and five-star matches and Meltzer five-star reviews. Bray Wyatt was, of course, never somebody who was known for having a great five-star match, but the true mark of a great superstar is, can you make everything count? And yes, that's what Roman Reigns does so well, where every clothesline, every bump, everything matters. You're just hooked in. One Cody cutter at WrestleMania 39, and you know it's not going to be the finish because they never end on a Cody cutter.
Right.
But you believe, maybe he's taken a bit. That was another thing, The Fiend and Bray Wyatt, he did so well with that character, that one whip of the strap on Daniel Bryan's back, or just those moments in those matches where does he look vulnerable? Those are really the moments where he stuck you in, not just as a charismatic promo guy, but as an in-ring talent as well.
You're sitting here giving me chills right now, Sanjay. Stop, man. Well, while we're doing that, I want to introduce
the whole world in my hands.
Man, I want to introduce my co-host right here, Jordan Scavone, author, commentator, part of the whole Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast team. Jordan, how are you doing, man? Welcome to the Whip Show, baby.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Sanjay, Jonze, good to see you. How you doing?
Doing great, Jordan. How are you?
Oh, a little tired, but good. Had a long day.
I wish we were meeting under more positive circumstances.
It's just 100%. 100%.
But at the same time, it's a credit to how great Bray Wyatt was that he can get me on a podcast to do a tribute show, because this is my first time ever doing something like this. But that's how great Bray Wyatt was.
Absolutely. And Jordan, you know, I know you're a big Bray Wyatt guy as well. What were some of the memories you had of Bray? Because matter of fact, I told you earlier, I had about 25 messages. Jordan was the first one I received. And I was about to go off like, man, what do you want? But then I realized what the situation was. But Jordan, could you please expound on that?
Yeah, gosh. I mean, the real question is, which ones don't I remember? Because there's none, probably. I mean, from the first NXT promo to the first Raw promo, to the creepy kid, you know, singing to John Cena in the cage, you know, the run, we're here, spinning the lantern, all of them. Like, I've done some freelance voice acting in the past, and some of the roles that I got, you know, the voice that I inspired was from Bray's, you know, and that's some things I never would have got to do. So, you know, getting to like bring it out, you know, do a little wide. And then when you do things, man, like it's something that as I added to my personal repertoire and I can pull out on a dime when I need to. All the memories. I mean, growing up, Kane was my favorite because I've always loved characters in wrestling. I always love story in wrestling. You know, good match, I don't care if you have a good match, but if I'm invested in your story, I care more about that than your quality of match, your technicality of a match. And that's something that that Bray Wyndham, you know, even when he was Husky Harris and he was the the Ferrari engine and the tank gimmick, like it, he still made it work, and it just showed a testament to his character work and his ability to know himself.
Absolutely, man. And like, I want to kind of go here, man. We kind of already touched on a little bit, Jordan, but I want you to touch on it too. The concept of the Fireflies. We were already talking about how they were just so connected. Why do you think we just bought in, man? We just believed everything.
I think part of it is everyone has a phone. Everyone's phone has a flashlight. So everyone can be a Firefly in the audience. You know, not everyone can get on camera, you know, when you're at a show. There's 10 to 20, 40,000 people there, but everyone can hold up their flashlight. Everyone can do that. It's just like the yes chant. Everyone can put their arms in the air and chant like that. And that's a way that you can be a part of it. And, you know, much like when you watch a movie with a really good villain that you almost want to support because they believe in themselves so much. Yeah. The way that Bray spoke, the way that he performed, the way the promos were done, the way that Harper, Rowan, and eventually Strowman followed behind him, you're just like, yeah, of course. Like, if these guys are listening to him, he must be right. Like, and you wanted to be part of it. You wanted to be, you know, you wanted the world in your hands. You wanted to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Speaking of having the whole world in his hands, right? I think another thing that goes missed when it comes to Bray Wyatt is his ability to affect the other individuals on the roster. Pretty much every feud he had, either his opponent was on that same level or came out better. You could say now they always came out different if it was the Fiend. We know that.
Look at LA Knight. LA Knight elevated. He really crossed over after that feud.
Right, right. And people were saying, oh, you know, Bray didn't come out, you know, impressive in that feud. We kind of just got bored of what he was doing. And we ended up liking LA Knight more. But how do we know that wasn't the intention? How do we know? Because in the past, every single person that Bray Wyatt has feuded with, look at Daniel Bryan when he turns on the Wyatt family. And that's not to say that Daniel Bryan wasn't over at the time, but that scene on the top of the cage of Daniel Bryan chanting, yes, yes, yes. That's a moment made by Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
And that's a moment made by that story and the Wyatt family story. So I can't remember a Bray Wyatt feud that wasn't memorable. I mean, absolutely. Pretty much every feud, even those mid-card feuds when he was tagging with Matt Hardy and we would see Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel do the impression of the Wyatt family. That was hilarious. That's one of my favorite moments. But that's a testament again. You can take Bray Wyatt and make him a serious character, a funhouse character, a cult leader character, and if you have to bridge into comedy, you can do that too. It's just he could do it all. And I've had conversations with other former or current WWE superstars in the past, and that is something you find some struggle with. Santino Marella, you know, as great as he is, and I would say he's probably one of the top comedy superstars in history.
Easily.
You can't put him, it's hard to make him a serious character.
Exactly, right.
Bray
right.
did it all. If you said, okay, Bray, you know, because when he was Husky Harris, that wasn't his full potential. He obviously was capable of more. But if you said to him, okay, do this cult leader character, and for 6 months, you're going to be a comedy character. It wouldn't be his best stuff, but you know what? It'd be damn funny.
Oh, absolutely.
It would have been hilarious. It would have been captivating. It would have been more entertaining than anything else on the shows at the time.
Like you said, we bought into not only the Fiend, but the sweater-wearing Bray Wyatt. I mean, he had a whole feud with Miz wearing nothing but the sweater, totally just being Bray Wyatt. And even that, because they knew the Fiend against Miz would have been too much of a difference in levels of wrestler. Once he went into the Bray Wyatt, okay, it actually was kind of even, and he still was able to elevate Miz even more than he was. Great point right there, bro.
Yeah,
I adored Funhouse Bray. My background is in children's literature and children's media. So seeing him, you know, come out with this persona of this psychotic Mr. Rogers, and it was the moment when he like was like, "Hey everyone, today's word of the day is sociopath or whatever." And it was at that moment I was like, "Oh my God, how is this working? How is this working?" Yeah. And it's because of him. You know, he was the perfect person that you could give anything to and it would become gold.
Yeah, exactly. Alexa Bliss talked about that all the time, how she learned so much and she thought to herself, now I have to up my game because if Bray's putting this much thought into his character, I've got to now put even more thought into my character. But again, and this is something that I mentioned at the top here before you popped in here, Jordan, is that we talk about certain stars being in a different genre than everybody else. And we know who we're talking about here. Bray Wyatt was the first to be in his own genre and do something completely out of the box. That there's nothing similar to the Firefly Funhouse. There's nothing similar. Even just those that flash on the screen, but when he comes out and you can pop him in the, you know, in the ring when it goes black, just that transition, those graphics that come up, you can change certain graphics in that graphic depending on the storyline. When Randy Orton was with the Wyatt family, those graphics changed and you saw flashes of Randy in there. Just all those little touches. He could have Easter eggs in the Firefly Funhouse. He could have Easter eggs in his promos. Oh, he mentioned that thing. Was that a reference to something 4 years ago? Get the fans talk. It was so different than anything else that anyone's doing. I was mentioning to Jordan, even the tributes we see in his death are still different.
Yes.
Than what everyone else is doing. Even in death, he still stands out.
And I loved on SmackDown that whenever they would reference a specific moment, they slapped a QR code up there. Just like with the White Rabbit stuff, which was in a world of ARGs and virtual games that were so oversaturated. It was so nice how they did it because it wasn't extreme. It wasn't over the top. It was subtle. It was confusing. And yeah, everyone was like 95% sure it was him. But the fact that there was still that just smidge of maybe it's not meant that it was doing its job.
Absolutely amazing.
Fellas, I want to ask you, and we didn't really get a good feel with them. Imagine if we would have had Aleister Black against the Wyatt, Bray Wyatt. And I know in an alternate universe, we can't have it now. But the House of Black versus the Wyatt family. I'm sorry, I just start shaking.
That's the fun of Bray Wyatt is that when it comes to fantasy booking, any feud, and it just is so heartbreaking that we're going to miss out now on so many other feuds. And now with AEW, the different versions of superstars that, I mean, what I believe there were rumors that Bray Wyatt was going to feud with Cody Rhodes. And this is the current version of Cody. I mean, how good promo wise.
Oh,
like that probably would have been the best promo exchange maybe ever.
Yeah.
Because you would just think ran back. Cult leader versus, you know, Cody Rhodes. It would have had so many layers.
I'd say, and with Cody, you could have ran back another Firefly Funhouse match like they did with Cena.
Yeah.
Like, just imagine Bray, like, in a, like, squeezed into a Stardust outfit. And just like, Cody.
Right.
It would have been glorious.
It would have been absolutely amazing. And just like you said, House of Black, there's so much potential. And with the Firefly Funhouse match, that's when it really showed us that if you see a feud 6 years ago or you see a feud today, don't just think that's the full pinnacle of that feud. Don't think that that's the feud's full potential because we can always circle back.
Now,
one more point I want to make here. Sorry, I apologize. One more point I want to make. In his last promos before he passed away, his tagline was, "Can you keep a secret? Can you keep a secret?" When The Fiend debuted, what did he say in the Funhouse? "Do you want to see my secret?" And then The Fiend comes out. Mm-hmm. I believe if Bray was alive for another 2-3 months, assuming he was healthy and all that, he was going to come back as The Fiend. We were going to see the long-awaited return of The Fiend. I believe that would have been his big return. And it sucks that we're never going to get to see that, but just imagining if you save it for the right moment, build up Roman, and here comes The Fiend. I mean, that would have been blockbuster television.
Absolutely, man. Now, I want to touch on this before we get out of here. You know, Jordan, you're a married man. Sanjay, you just said you're married as well. I'm engaged currently. Bray had a whole nother side. He had a beautiful family. But going back to the character, when we first heard JoJo, the little sweet, cute ring announcer was dating Bray Wyatt, we like, what the hell? There's no way that could be possible. But again, that was us buying into the amazing character. but so much love that man had for his family. I've been seeing pictures and videos of him and his daughters and his wife. Just a beautiful thing, man. Now, Jordan, as being a married man yourself and just seeing it, how does that make you feel?
I think LA Knight did it perfect when he came out on SmackDown and did that promo. You know, he openly said, he's like, I didn't know him very well. We weren't best friends. I'm not going to pretend we were. But when I saw those pictures of that man with his kids and his wife, and that's when it broke him. And, you know, I think that's when it really hit me a little bit harder too. Like when I found out, I was literally about to give my son food. Like he's sitting at his table going, da-da-da-da, food. And I'm like, dude, hang on. Like, this was 2 minutes after Triple H's tweet went up, like, really, really fast. And I just didn't even know how to react. My wife walked out of the bedroom, and she's like, she looked at me, and she goes, what's wrong? And I'm like, I couldn't even vocalize it for them. I had to just show her my phone, show her the tweet. And it was a lot. And then that exact thing that LA Knight said, like, I don't know Bray Wyatt. I don't know Wyndham. We never met. We're not friends. What I think we would have been friends, I think we would have got along well if we had ever met, you know. But really seeing those real pictures of him and JoJo and the kids, and I think that's where it did. It really, really hit on a whole different level. Because not only was I now not going to see one of my favorite performers of all time, but, you know, my brain is like, man, now they're not going to see their dad, their husband, their friend, their brother, their son. You know, and that's when it really, really hit me.
You look at JoJo's age, this is home for me, is because we're both 29. JoJo's 29, I'm 29. So the idea of losing your spouse suddenly like that, and not just suddenly, but we were hearing reports that he was making positive progress. So you think, okay, everything's going to be good. It's all going to be good. He had a down moment, he'll be fine. And then this punch in the gut for the entire wrestling community, it's obviously... like I mentioned off the top, I think I said, whoa, at my phone 9 times, just whoa, whoa, whoa. Like I couldn't believe that tweet was real. And it's just, it hasn't sunk in yet. You still feel like when they show shots of the rocking chair, that something's going to happen. It'll start rocking and Bray will be there with or the hat or something. You just assume something's going to happen, but I don't know. It just, it's heartbreaking.
It felt very similar to when the news about Brody broke.
Yes.
You know, in a similar sense, I was just sitting on the couch watching TV, you know, I blip, 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 blip on my phone, and I was like, what's going on? What do you mean Brody's? What? Brody's? What? No way. How did that happen? And then, yeah, it's heartbreaking. Like you said, Sanjay, it's a gut punch. And I didn't even know the guy. As a human, I knew him as a performer. I knew him as a character. I knew him as a professional wrestler.
Videos of him interacting with fans that I've seen online, he looks like such a genuine guy. Like genuinely happy to meet these fans. And when somebody shows him artwork, I drew this of you, Bray, with the lantern. He's not just like, oh, thank you so much, and signing. He's like, whoa, he seems so invested in his fans. One more thing to point out here is 2 years younger than Eddie Guerrero. Eddie Guerrero was 38 when he died. Bray was 36. Wow. And we talk about how young Eddie was when he passed. And to think that Bray was 2 years younger, we probably only got 40% of everything Bray had to offer. And you know, even when Bray retired from active competition, he would have been, you know, inspiring the next generation with ideas. He could have been the next Dusty. Could have been the next Dusty Rhodes in terms of how influential he was to those NXT kids, right? So it just sucks that we didn't even scratch the surface, I think. But we could have seen so much more from Bray Wyatt.
Well, guys, before we get out of here, I want you guys to really say a word to Bray and his family and anybody listening. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds. I want you a quick blurb and just bless the people, man.
Jordan, if you want to start, go ahead. I'll say this, Bray Wyatt, thank you for revolutionizing the industry. Thank you for making sports entertainment and professional wrestling something that we literally never imagined it could be. Thank you for changing the genre, especially at a time when it was much needed, because for many years, you were the single reason why many fans tuned in, especially when The Fiend debuted. I remember I would watch just to see The Fiend. To his family, our thoughts are with you. Our representing the entire wrestling community are all rallying around you. We will never forget Bray Wyatt. And I think I'm going to be hopping on WWEshop.com to buy some Bray Wyatt merch, because 100% of those proceeds are going to your family. And I'm going to buy something just for you guys. So rest in peace, Bray. And thank you for all the memories. You will never, ever be forgotten.
And Jordan, just like Sanjay just did, I want you to give us a word to his family, his friends, his followers, and Bray himself, man.
Well, Sanjay, like you said, he won't be forgotten. And I don't even think it's that he won't be forgotten. I think it's that he can't be forgotten. He is an individual who changed the game. He changed everything. I have a lot of non-wrestling fans, but all of my non-wrestling fans were Bray Wyatt fans. They loved his promos. They loved his matches. They loved The Fiend. And, you know, to his family, JoJo, Bo, IRS, you know, I wish I could say something other than I'm thinking about you. I'm sending my love for you. But I am. And it's genuine. It's coming from here. And I like to think that Bray was looking out for me as a fan one last time, 2 days after the news broke. We were at the mall. We went to a toy store we never go to because my preschooler just wanted to go. He wanted to go. And sitting on the shelf was one Ultimate Edition Fiend figure. And I've been wanting this figure for so long. And when he passed, I was like, oh, it's done. Those are going to shoot up in price. People are going to scalp them. And nope, there it was sitting on the shelf, $25. And in my mind, and my hope is that was him going, I got you, man.
I'll do you one better. I don't think that was him just saying, I got you, man. That was him saying, I'll light the way. All you have to do is let me in.
Oh, my God. Nice, man. And you know what? I think that says it all. And Bray, I want to say something real quick as well. I've been a part of the wrestling business for over 25 years on the independent scene. Probably, and I've liked wrestling all my life. I'm 43 years old, from Hogan all the way to WrestleMania 3, 1987. Never have I seen anything like you. You touched me in a way that you reinvigorated my love for pro wrestling. I have not felt that way about the business and a character in years. I thank you for that, and I thank you to everybody you touched. One thing about being an entertainer, whether you're a wrestler, a musician, if you do news media, whatever you do, you want to relate to people and you want to connect with people. You did that. I love you for that, and you will never be forgotten. To your family, I know it's going to be hard. When you lose anybody, it's going to be hard. Stay strong. You got this whole universe that we rocking with you. We'll be with you forever. You know that. And with that being said, I want to thank you guys. I mean, I would like Sanjay just to let people know how they can get a hold of you, Jordan as well. But I'm going to sign off just for me personally right here. Bray, thank you. We love you, and we're glad we could do this tribute on a positive note, you know, because like I said, you brought the light, man. You let us in.
Every time we see a dark auditorium, a dark arena, and everybody puts those cell phone lights up, even if it's not even wrestling related, every wrestling fan is going to go, there's the Fireflies. They're going to make that association. And that's the power of Bray Wyatt. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at SanjayMarus. That's SanjayMaru on, I guess I should call it X. I'm still not used to calling it X. And then Instagram is sun.j.maru, SanjayMaru. And definitely want to do more of these. I definitely want to, you know, start getting more into the pro wrestling sports entertainment space as I continue to develop my career. And definitely people like Bray Wyatt are going to be the influences as to why.
Well, you know, our door is always open. Jordan, would you agree?
100%. And Sanjay, I'll one-up you one here. Not even in a dark arena, man. You look outside and you see an actual Firefly flying by.
There you go.
You know who it is. You know who it is.
There you go.
That's real, man. Well, guys, as always, thank you for checking in to the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast, aka The Whip Show. We'll see you next time. You know what you can do. YouTube, The Whip Show podcast. Well, I can't say Twitter, X at The Whip Show, and all platforms, Spotify, you know, iHeart, all that stuff. Stay there. Bray Wyatt, let us in. See y'all next time on The Whip Show. Take care.